In the Bible, there are many references to mothers. Some were good mothers and some were not. But we see that the moms who were faithful to the Lord received blessings from him. Abraham's wife Sarah was grieving because she was barren. She couldn't have children. And out of desperation, she gives her husband, her servant, as a wife to bear children. And she has a son named Ishmael. Afterwards, Sarah also has a son in her old age, which was God's plan that was given beforehand. And she persecutes Hagar and sends her away in the desert along with her son to die. And God meets Hagar and blesses her and her son. And as a result, Hagar refers to God as the God who sees. Moses' mother, Jochebed, was part of God's plan to deliver Israel. And she was a faithful woman who, not knowing a lot about God at the time, because it was through her son the law was given, she knew there was a God and she was faithful as she could be to God. So when the plan of Pharaoh was revealed that every Hebrew male child born was to be killed, she defied the edict. And instead, she set her three-month-old son in a small basket and floated him in the Nile River to a place where the daughter of Pharaoh was bathing. How did she know to do that? Was it simply an idea that she had hoped would work? Or was the God she trusted behind this plan giving her confidence to do something very scary with something so precious to her? And I submit that it was God leading her the entire way before she was even pregnant with Moses. She was a part of his plan. And the result was God's plan to deliver his people came to pass by the child that she surrendered to God. And she literally had to surrender, like, yeah, I'm putting this kid in the river and giving him up to you, Lord. I can't do anything more for him. Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho, she married an Israelite man and became the great-grandmother of King David. In her lowly status, she was a woman of faith and was delivered from the wrath of God by acting out on that faith, and God then blessed her life. And Samson, who was an ungodly man, was used by God in a mighty way that began with a conversation between God and Samson's mother before he was born. She was another woman in the scriptures who suffered from a barren womb. And God told her that she would conceive and bear a son and that he would be a Nazarite from birth, meaning her son would be under a special vow to God all of his life, which included not cutting his hair as a part of that vow. And in Numbers chapter 6, verse 5, we read about this vow. It says, "And all the days of his vow of separation, no razor shall touch his head until the time is completed for which he separates himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. He shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow long." So that was written in the law before Samson. She then told her husband, a man named Manoah, who immediately prayed that God would return and teach them how to raise a child. And what we see in Samson's mother is both a life that pleased God, otherwise he would likely not have chosen her, and wisdom as she counsels her husband when God reveals himself to the couple, and her husband is afraid because he saw God, and she calms him down with simple wisdom. You can read about that story in Numbers chapter 13. Hannah was a woman who also had faith but was barren, and she cried out to God for a son in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." And going back to that Nazarite vow, he will be vowed by his mother to God as a Nazarite. And God gave her a son, and later in her life she bore more children. And she was faithful, even in her bitterness, to bring her misery to God and to pray continually. The result was she gave birth to a son named Samuel, whom God would use to transfer the leadership of the nation from the judges, the rulers after the time of Joshua, to a king. And God would use Samuel in many great ways to accomplish his will. Leah, the first wife of Jacob, given to him through deception, resulted in a very difficult marriage. Her husband Jacob didn't love her. Rather, he had asked for Rachel, whom he loved, to be his wife, and that was Leah's sister. And Rachel's father agreed, but secretly substituted Leah for Rachel when the marriage was to be consummated at night, when Jacob could not see her face. Leah lived her life without the love of her husband. And God saw her misery and gave her six sons, including Reuben, Jacob's firstborn son, which was a big deal, and a daughter, which would make up half of the family of Jacob. She was honored with several sons, which was important in those days. And Rachel was the love of Jacob's life. After being deceived by Rachel's father, Jacob confronts the man who agrees to also give Rachel to him in marriage. So Rachel, who is innocent in all this, has to live with Jacob, who has her older sister also as his wife. In addition, Rachel was another woman in Scripture who was barren, and her sister provided several sons to Jacob, making her situation even more miserable. But God had a plan that involved Jacob, his wives, and their servants. And that plan was to create a special people, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 19. And they were all involved. In Genesis 30:22, it says, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son, and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.' And she called his name Joseph, saying, 'May the Lord add to me another son.'" So the name Joseph means to add, and Rachel wanted more sons to compete with her sister and uses her firstborn to declare that by his name. And there were other women in Scripture who were barren that God used: Sarah, Abraham's wife; Rebekah, Isaac's wife; the wealthy woman of Shunem, who Elisha prayed for, and she and her husband had a son. To be barren in these days was considered a curse, and many notable women in Scripture were barren until God healed their womb. They conceived, and their lives were examples of people who suffered but continually trusted in God, who blessed them with a child according to his will. And in the New Testament, there's another woman who was barren, and God healed her womb at an age beyond childbearing years, in Luke 1:7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. So Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children, and Zechariah was a priest. And going back to verse 6, it says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord." And God gave them a son, and Elizabeth was an older woman, beyond childbearing years, because it was God's plan, and he used a broken couple in his plan for this world. And probably the most famous mother in the Scriptures is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Mary's character is not really elaborated on in the Scriptures, but her response to the angel Gabriel gives us an idea that she was a woman of faith. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" So Mary, as a young woman, probably between the ages of 14 and 17, she pleased God. And the angel tells her the plan of God to miraculously conceive a child in her womb without the use of a man. And while this probably seemed overwhelming to Mary, her response indicates why she found favor with God in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed for her." So in conclusion, what can we learn about mothers in the Bible? Well, many things. God blesses those women who are grieving and put their grief in God's hands. There's Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Hannah, and other women who were barren. God blesses those who trust him with their circumstances. There's Hagar, Jochebed, Moses' mom, Rachel. And God blesses those who trust God despite their circumstances: Elizabeth and the wealthy woman of Shunem, Esther, Ruth, and those who simply find favor with God: Samson's mother and Mary. And there's also evil mothers in Scripture as well. There's Jezebel and Athaliah, her daughter, who is crazier than her mom, and the prostitute standing before Solomon when he first took his reign to judge a case involving her. And there are others whose stories are just evil. And then there are those who simply follow their husband's lead, and God uses them. Noah's wife. We don't read much about her, but she was along for the ride, and as a result, she was a part of God's plan. And Abigail, and we read good things about her at the beginning, and she kind of fades away, but she's not important to the story that God is telling. But she still was there. She was still faithful to David, it appears, and was a good wife. And there are moms who made big mistakes in their lives, but God redeems them. Rebekah, Isaac's wife, she plots against her son so that her favored son, Jacob, would inherit the firstborn blessing. And that was all done by deceit. And Bathsheba, who committed adultery, but later bore Solomon, who God used in a mighty way. And then there's women who were heroic without their husband. For example, Yael, who assassinated an enemy king so that her town wouldn't be destroyed by the army seeking him. In Judges chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Most blessed of woman be Yael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, of the tent-dwelling women, most blessed." So mothers have and still play an important role in the plan of God. He builds up mothers from different backgrounds and blesses them with children they are tasked with raising for his kingdom. And a mother serves the Lord when she is faithful in her calling as a mother and a wife. And these are things that she will be rewarded with in eternity for her faith and sacrifices. Proverbs 31, verse 10, "An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts her, and she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with her willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So God's ideal woman is a woman who trusts him and obeys his calling. Thank you.